and welcome to Weekend Watchlist, a look at what's screening and streaming, brought to you by The Letterboxd Show. I'm Mitchell, he's Slim.
Hello!
And together we'll dig through what's dropping this weekend, last weekend, recent trends on Letterboxd, and we'll also take a peek at our own watchlist, all under 30 minutes, or for the next episode, you will have to be subscribed to Weekend Watchlist Blue for $8 a month.
Only a matter of time before Mitchell's blue check gets removed.
And we're waiting. We're
clicking. We don't know what Mitchell's going to be like after that. Could be the end.
Will I be allowed on here? I think the blue check is what got me on here.
I don't. That's a good question. We'll do some market research after the check is removed. But I have some news for you, Mitchell. This episode is so huge. We needed help from our friends at Bleecker Street. Bleecker Street presents Mafia Mama, a new mobster comedy starring Toni Collette and Monica Bellucci and directed by Catherine Hardwicke, Twilight and 13, FYI. A mild-mannered suburban mom, Collette, unexpectedly inherits a mafia empire in Italy from her long-lost grandfather and finds herself stuck in the middle of a mob war. Guided by the firm's trusted consigliere, Bellucci, she hilariously defies everyone's expectations, including her own, as the new head of the family business.
People are talking about this Mafia Mama. Letterboxd user Monkey Farts says that Mafia Mama is a funny, campy take on an old mafia trope, and Peter Afro raves that it is a better mafia movie than The Godfather.
What?
Big talk. Big talk. God. The Godfather is one of the highest rated films on Letterboxd. Peter Afro says Mafia Mama, higher. Higher. Kate Mancini even proclaims, what the hell? This is awesome. I'm a Mafia Mama stan. Mafia Mama is now in theaters nationwide starting April 14th.
Oh my God. Peter Afro trying to get on that poster. Blu-ray release, Peter Afro trying to get on that poster. So this episode, we'll also be talking about Renfield with Nicolas Cage, The Pope's Exorcist with Russell Crowe. Maybe Mitchell's new favorite movie.
Maybe. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. We'll find out soon.
Suzume and the aforementioned Mafia Mama, plus your community reviews, tag Weekend Watchlist, and as always, we'll shuffle our watchlist together forever.
Well, let's dive right into it with Renfield, directed by Chris McKay, on 43,000 watchlists in theaters wide. This weekend, everybody's going to be able to see it. The synopsis for this one, having grown sick and tired of his centuries as Dracula's lackey, Renfield finds a new lease on life and maybe even redemption when he falls for feisty, perennially angry traffic cop Rebecca Quincy. Slim, what are your vibes on Renfield? What's going on with this Renfield guy?
What's up with this Renfield? For the longest time, I actually thought Nicolas Cage was playing Renfield. So up until maybe two weeks ago, I was like, oh, he's Dracula.
You see Nicolas Cage above the title. You see the title's a name. You just assume.
Yeah, you make assumptions and sometimes they turn out to be wrong. But whenever a Nicolas Cage movie is released with some sort of wacky premise, I get excited. But then also nervous because I feel like folks get so excited for like a new Nicolas Cage wacky movie. It's either a letdown big time and they like overhype it for me, or it potentially is a great movie. So I'm staying away from a lot of the details of this so I can just kind of relax, sit back, and enjoy it myself. And plus, big bonus points, same director as The Tomorrow War with my boy Chris Pratt on Amazon Prime, streaming now.
I think Tomorrow War is also ahead of The Godfather on the Letterboxd Top 250.
Yes, it's a better mafia movie than The Godfather.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm really stoked for Renfield. The big thing for me is like I'm a huge Cage head and he has been dreaming. Anybody who knows Cage knows that he's been dreaming of playing Dracula for decades. So it's very exciting. The big talk for Renfield is it being very exciting that he's finally playing Dracula. And that being said, if we're talking about Cage and vampires, anytime it comes up, I have to specifically shout out the 1988 film Vampire's Kiss, which was his first stab at playing one of these, you know, vampires. That one is a very interesting one where he says he believes he's been bit by a vampire and that he's becoming a vampire. It's very ambiguous whether or not he's actually, but I mean, he is going. Vampire's Kiss, for people who haven't seen it, it is like the OG, like memification of Nicolas Cage. If you've seen like the pillows, that face that he has with like he's doing that weird face, that's all from Vampire's Kiss. He's doing like very like maximalist, like to the extreme with this performance. He's eating cockroaches. He's roaming the streets, like moaning, begging anyone to kill him while he's holding a stake. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. So if you haven't seen Vampire's Kiss, definitely check it out before Renfield even. But he's going full Dracula now. What are some people on Letterboxd saying about Renfield?
It's hard to go full Dracula. MacReady's Big Hat caught an early screening of this and had a blast. Nick Cage is dynamite with his Dracula chewing both victims and scenery. It's always a fine line for Cage between exploring his weird energy and harnessing it. And here, I felt that he hit the bullseye with menace and levity. So MacReady caught a screening and dug it.
Brittany Tuttle says that only Renfield is brave enough to give the people what they want, which is an My Chemical Romance needle drop in 2023. Brittany says, jokes aside, this was fun. I'm gonna put in a word here for our host, Mia Vicino, and say that there's no jokes about an MCR needle drop. That's all serious. There's no games to be played.
Mia probably wearing a MCR t-shirt right now, interviewing somebody on a red carpet, getting tweeted out. Young woman interviews MCR on red carpet.
Mia's just following Gerard Way around, seeing if he'll be on a red carpet so she can put a mic in his face.
All right, next on our list is The Pope's Exorcist. This
finally,
is Mitchell's
we're
Super
here.
Bowl.
This we're is finally the- to it.
Julius Avery directing this is on 7,000 watch list, but it's distributing wide in theaters. So you can head out to the theater, go see it. Father Gabriel Amorth, chief exorcist of the Vatican, investigates a young boy's terrifying possession and ends up uncovering a centuries-old conspiracy the Vatican has desperately tried to keep hidden. So Russell Crowe is in this. Russell Crowe on the poster holding a cross, fighting demons. Is that anyone needs for this movie, Mitchell?
That's all you need. I mean, this is what everybody's been waiting for years. We've all been saying it. We watched The New Pope. We loved it. We've all seen The Exorcist. We loved it. And we've always said, well, what if we combine these things? What if we combine a pope and exorcisms? We finally have it. The Pope's Exorcist. It's coming. It's here. I'm over the moon. I'm very excited. People might be listening to this thinking, oh, Mitchell's playing a game. This is a joke. This is not. I'm not joking. I'm not playing around here.
Mitchell's excitement for 65 with Adam Driver has shifted to The Pope's Exorcist. This is the same director as Overlord, which I didn't love, but I love the premise of that. But I was watching WrestleMania the other weekend, like any other warm-blooded American male, and there was a Hell in the Cell match. Mitchell, ever heard of a Hell in the Cell match?
I used to be a big wrestling fan. I had my toys. I made pay-per-views myself with my action figures. I've seen the Mankind, that famous Mankind Hell in the Cell where he gets torn up with the tacks in his face and everything. I've seen some Hell in the Cells in my time. I even had a cage that I did with my action figures where I specifically build Hell in the Cell matches.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, Hell in the Cell. So this past weekend at WrestleMania, the demon Finn Balor was wrestling Edge, who you might remember from your youth.
And there were some how old is Edge at this point?
Edge was going around
when I was still doing stuff.
The Brood Edge. He's getting up there for sure. This might be his last
the edge.
Year. The Edge came out with Edge as his manager. It was amazing. So, but as they were like doing this match and the music was like coming down, the red lights, your boy Russell Crowe appeared on the Titantron, on the screen. Mm. He was like doing this crazy collab with WWE, promoting the Devil's Exorcist, getting the crowd amped up for the Hell in the Cell match.
The Devil's Exorcist?
The Devil. I have the Devil's Advocate in my head. I got the Pope's Exorcist. There's too many of these movies. But it was crazy. So like it was an ad for the Pope's Exorcist in WrestleMania. And it somehow felt perfect. So I got amped personally.
I think that's the target audience. Bert calls the Pope's Exorcist completely bonkers, so over the top and crazy, pure popcorn style entertainment. I love this era of Russell Crowe going full ham. This movie is good, but it becomes great because of his fabulous performance. He's having a ball and you can really tell his character was so good. I love more movies with this character, perhaps a franchise in the works. Bring it on. More Camp Rusty on his little Vespa and robes flapping in the wind. The people are demanding it. The Pope's Exorcist, the new John Wick is what I'm hearing. That's the word around town. The next John Wick is the Pope's Exorcist.
Oh my God. Can you imagine a movie between the two of them? Like they maybe meet up. Maybe it's the Pope's Exorcist versus John Wick.
The Pope's Exorcist v. John Wick, Dawn of Justice. It's coming.
Director's cut.
Unfortunately, we do have to move on. I would love to talk about the Pope's Exorcist all day, but I'm getting the warning light that we got to move on. So our next film is a very big one. It's Suzume from director Makoto Shinkai, which is on 31,000 watch lists. It's been playing some other territories over the last year. It's played at some festivals. It's finally releasing in the U.S. wide this weekend. The synopsis: Suzume, 17, lost her mother as a little girl. On her way to school, she meets a mysterious young man, but her curiosity unleashes a calamity that endangers the entire population of Japan. And so Suzume embarks on a journey to set things right. This is a big talk on Letterboxd for Suzume. What are you hearing about this one, Slim?
You know, I don't know a ton about this, and I wanted to quietly plug our Letterboxd editorial wing. You know, Journal put out an article about this. So I was scanning some reviews, and this is about 3/11, you know, when the earthquake and tsunami that killed nearly 20,000 people in 2011. So we just published a piece that, for people like me, that can learn more about this movie and kind of find out why to add it to my watch list, right?
Yeah, Campbell A. Campbell, who's like our animation like expert, has done so many great pieces with animators over the years on Journal. Got to interview Shinkai for this film. It's a really great piece. Definitely recommend people checking it out. And it shouts out, among other things, you know, people, if you don't know Suzume, it's the new film from the director of Your Name, which is one of the highest rated animated films of all time on Letterboxd. It's 199th highest rated film, period, animation or otherwise on Letterboxd. So the hype for Suzume is very, very real. Definitely recommend people checking it out. Let's check out some of the reviews on Letterboxd. What are some people saying on the site for Suzume?
Bookly Reads had a nice review. This is just a snippet of it. As a teacher who feels a disconnect and fear over the fact that every year my students remember less and less of 3/11, this movie feels like a way to gap that generational divide and foster understanding. So I did see that theme a few times in some of the reviews, which I found fascinating.
Yeah, I wanted to shout out George Carmi's review, which I thought was really good, where George says, Suzume feels like Makoto Shinkai's magnum opus. It's the culmination of all he's been working towards, each film continuing to perfect his craft and storytelling, adding more and more to his arsenal of anime filmmaking. We have elements and stylistic choices reminiscent of Your Name and Weathering With You, yet Suzume still feels unique in execution. This is no typical love story. It's a tragic tale of family, loss, the importance of friendship, and the lasting heartbreak and burden 2011's earthquake and tsunami left.
Next and last on our list, we mentioned at the top of the show, Mafia Mama from Catherine Hardwicke. This is also going wide in theaters. We mentioned at the top of the show, but a suburban American woman inherits her grandfather's mafia empire. And I'm glad I got to say this word again. Guided by the firm's trusted consigliere, defies everyone's expectations, including her own, as the new head of the family business. What's your favorite Catherine Hardwicke movie?
Oh, I think I would be put in the gallows if I didn't say that Twilight is my favorite. I think my partners can hear the other room, and I think that I would be, you know, removed from the building if I didn't say Twilight. But I really like Lords of Dogtown. I thought it was a really good movie. I think Heath Ledger is really great in that, and I love like their kind of collabing there, Hardwicke and Ledger. So I thought that was a really good one. How about you? What's your Hardwicke pick?
You know, I only watched Twilight for the first time a couple years ago, and I wasn't really prepared for what happened in that movie. And also hearing Radiohead on the soundtrack kind of blew my mind.
Great. The Twilight movies all have phenomenal
soundtracks. It's nuts. But when I was working in the video store, I think I remember seeing Lords of Dogtown and 13 a lot on the shelves. Mm-hmm. So those are the ones that I really remember. And shame on me, kind of almost forget, because like the Twilight buzz kind of overshadows some of her filmography for, I guess, like normies like me. With that said, I have been seeing some buzz for Mafia Mama in my circles, people seeing some screenings of Mafia Mama. Also the cast, I think we were there on the red carpet interviewing Toni Collette. So if you haven't already followed our Instagram and Twitter, you'll probably see those conversations happen, and they were a lot of fun.
Yeah, keep an eye out on our social channels too. Coming up this weekend, we've got some really fun stuff with Collette and Hardwicke playing some games that maybe we haven't done before with filmmakers. Some new stuff coming on Letterboxd Social. So check out, you know, our socials for that. Some very exciting things. Also, maybe getting even from Hardwick the OG story of Robert Pattinson calling Bella a spider monkey in Twilight. So fan fave moments from Twilight, getting the dish, getting the OG stories on our socials. So keep an eye out for that stuff.
Let's look back at last week. We had some big releases.
Huge week. I think you and your son, maybe the biggest week of all time for you guys.
It was the biggest week of all time. However, I have some somber news. He had a sleepover with his cousin, so he saw the Super Mario Brothers movie without me.
Wow. Ultimate father betrayal.
Not only that, maybe a marriage betrayal. I asked my wife several times, hey, you want to go out on a date, go see a movie? What movie? The Super Mario Brothers movie? I might have well turned to stone every time I asked that question to my wife. So I still have not seen the Super Mario Brothers movie. I'll probably go alone in theaters to see it during the week, maybe a weekday retreat. But it's sitting at a 3.5 average on Letterboxd.
This is exactly like when I saw the John Woo, Ben Affleck 2003 film Paycheck in the theaters without my dad. And my dad found out and was devastated.
I will say, I asked James, he said he gave it 5 stars. He had a 5-star experience watching that movie.
I've been seeing a lot of like reviews, a lot of friends with kids saying that like their kids are loving the Super Mario Brothers movie, which also had the highest opening weekend of all time, I think, for an animated movie.
Yeah,
so
crazy
big,
as that.
Big talk for Super Mario Brothers.
Air, directed by Ben, our dear friend Ben.
Speaking of my boy, my paycheck, the paycheck man himself.
Speaking of which, 3.8 average and Had to Blow Up a Pipeline, also a 3.8 average. I had a great time watching that. I compared that, I think in my review, I said Heat, but for environmental activists. So check that movie out if you can. A lot of fun.
Why don't you, we got a little pipeline. Maybe you want to give a little tease of something, something pipeline related coming up.
Listen, as of recording, we might be recording the return of Four Faves. For the Letterboxd show today.
Big time coming.
We're recording it today. Maybe it's connected to How to Blow Up a Pipeline.
Maybe
it'll be dropping in a few weeks. Stay tuned. We're very excited. We're getting back in gear. And the show will probably drop twice a month. We might be shifting the schedule. The episodes are so big, we need to shift the schedule.
Can't contain them in so once a
week. You can't contain them. What do you want to spotlight from the last week?
Well, Mia and I also talked about showing up the new Kelly Reichardt movie last week. And I got the chance after we recorded the ep that very same night, I actually watched the film.
Ooh.
And as I mentioned on the episode, I'm a huge Kelly Reichardt fan and I loved it. It's a very, like, it's rides this wave of being very delicately made, very tenderly made, as you expect from Kelly Reichardt. But it's also like one of the most stressful films I've seen in my entire life. Like, it's all about these little things that kind of build up that totally wears down, like very like normal problems. You know, there's not a Pope's exorcist in this film trying to save the world. It's just Michelle Williams trying to get her narcissistic landlord to figure out this water situation so she can get hot water in her place again. And it's like the most stressful thing I've ever felt in my life, because I feel like a lot of us can relate to the issues that she's having here and like how that stuff can wear you down and get in the way of you trying to just like pursue your passions and like feel joy. And I think it's really a fantastic movie. But you also watched Showing Up, right?
I did. And I think I kind of skipped a lot of the details, but I had forgotten that Hong Chau was in this.
Yeah, fantastic.
You know, Kelly Reichardt, I think I watched Wendy and Lucy for the Letterboxd show. I think we had a previous guest. So that, I think that might have been my first introduction to her filmography. But yeah, she definitely has a specific style. Good movie, Showing Up.
If people like How to Blow Up a Pipeline, I would definitely recommend Kelly Reichardt's Night Moves, which is also about like activism and does the similar kind of thing of like taking activism, but also making it a very like down and gritty thriller movie that you really feel what the characters are going through. So if people like How to Blow Up a Pipeline and like Kelly Reichardt or are interested in any of that stuff, definitely check out Night Moves. I also, before we move on, I did want to mention, we gave a little mention of it earlier when we were talking about my favorite movie of all time, The Pope's Exorcist. I did watch my 65, finally saw it. It's on VOD now.
What?
I paid $20 to watch it the other night. I watched it at midnight alone in my living room. Even my cat didn't want to be near me for that one. She went into the other room and went to sleep. No regrets on her part. But I had a nice time with 65. It's fine. I want to mention, let me pull up my review here because there are some specific facts. So 65, which if people don't know, it's the movie where Adam Driver fights dinosaurs. I always thought that he was going back in time, but it opens with text cards telling us that millions of years before what they say, before quotes, before the advent of mankind, before mankind was even invented, other advanced civilizations explored the cosmos. And then it says this, Slim, and then it introduces us to the human beings. It just introduces us to human people, Adam Driver. How is that different than mankind? Whatever. But anyway, in this super advanced civilization from 65 million years ago, the first thing we hear about, it's a scene Adam Driver's with his wife and his kid, and his wife's talking about how Adam Driver's bosses raised his salary. You want me to believe that salaries existed 65 million years ago with some advanced civilization? Salary just felt like the weirdest word to even hear on this other planet. Some advanced civilization. Oh, but anyway, the movie's very silly. I think it knows it. It takes itself very seriously, but it knows what it's doing. And I think it's, I mean, it's fun enough. I think watching it at midnight while your cat's sleeping in the other room is a perfectly ideal way to watch 65.
Under embarrassment of your cat walking out to see what you're watching. It looks, in the backdrop, it looks like he's wearing a still suit from Dune. Those like leather suits where they can pee themselves.
They definitely are pulling some inspiration from a lot of other movies on this one.
Oh boy, I still want to see this. James, my aforementioned 5-star son for Super Mario Brothers, he wants to see this. We just got to find the time. It's on our list. But speaking of lists, the top 50 of 2023, we have to check in to see how things are going. The movers and the shakers. And I think there were some comments on Bo is Afraid. Spoilers, I just got a screener invite to see Bo is Afraid next week, I think.
What?
Jack says, Bo is Afraid is probably going to hit that list, but it hasn't enough votes yet. Doesn't have enough logs in the diary to add to the list, but he thinks it'll happen soon enough. Low-key update this week with only one new film and one reentry is the French Sage Home and the Italian Last Night of Amore. Take up some of the last spots in the list. So I'm sure when Bo is Afraid, that'll be the big addition once that hits enough data points on the Letterboxd list.
And you're making that new movie, right? You're making a new Italian movie, Last Night of the Consigliere. Is that right?
I wish I could say that word every week. It just feels so good saying that word out loud. Honestly, everyone listening right now, just try to say it out loud. It's fun.
Just take it. Pause the episode for a moment. Say consigliere. And you're in your home alone. Ready, to
everyone
your cat.
On three, say consigliere. One, two, three. Consigliere. We just made each other's day right now in audio form.
Let's move on. Our final section of the episode, our watch list shuffle. And you, I wasn't on the last episode that you were on, but I was listening. I was listening from the other room, and I heard that you pulled on your watch list shuffle one of my favorite movies. The poster is behind me in my office right now.
Oh,
Mississippi Masala, my beloved. What do you think? What do you think of it?
Oh, which poster do you have? Is it the Criterion or the OG?
It's the Criterion.
Oh,
the
that new, Criterion is nice.
That new
nice
Janus
poster.
Restoration poster, which is much better than the old kind of wonky.
Yeah, because I remember
cover looking poster.
I remember. I think I've heard you talk about this movie pre-Criterion, and I remember looking at the listing on Letterboxd and seeing that poster, and I was like, what is Mitchell talking about? This poster is
I felt a little strange having that in my four faves for a while with the poster the way it used to look.
Yes. The new poster is probably the best thing to ever happen to this movie for people wanting to watch it. So Denzel Washington, Sarita Chaudhuri, and they come from different cultures. They meet in Mississippi, and as, you know, young sexual people, with, you know, a backdrop of different cultures colliding. It's a drama, kind of like mini love story. I liked it a lot. This is the first time, well, first of all, I said Sarita is an absolute fox. She's gorgeous in this movie.
Her hair, the hair's out of control. It's so gorgeous.
I feel like I saw 20 different styles of her hair in this movie, and each one was better than the last. So I liked it a lot. Denzel is fantastic in this. This might be one of the earliest Denzel movies I've seen. The one thing I want to call out is the backstory of the father, Rashaan Seth. And I had seen him before growing up. as I think Dhalsim in Street Fighter, which is probably not the first thing people think of, maybe, and also Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. But I loved his portrayal about a man torn up about being forced out of where he was born and feeling displaced and having unresolved issues with someone close to him or who he once was close with. I thought he played it perfectly. And you love this movie, obviously.
Yeah, I think the big surprise, like going into it, I was expecting, it's directed by Mira Nair, who has made some really great romances like Monsoon Wedding as well, which was, you know, a little while after this, but I had seen before seeing Mississippi Masala. And I went in like expecting it to be a really, you know, tender, beautiful romance between Denzel and Sarita. And it definitely is that. But I was really caught off guard by how well it dug into the nuances of this like interracial romance, specifically interracial romance between two different cultures with neither of them being white, which I feel like you don't get to see like a lot of like, if there is a movie out there about an interracial romance, it's like almost always, from what I've seen at least, like one of the characters is white and it's about like navigating that. I think that Mississippi Masala does a great job of navigating the nuances of these two different cultures that both have experienced, you know, persecution in their lives and having to navigate the prejudices that can come between them because of the traumas that they've faced in their past. And yeah, with the Roshan Seth character, I think that it really does a great job of diving into that in really like nuanced and specific ways that are really powerful.
Yeah. So it's streaming on Criterion right now. If you don't have the physical Criterion release, fire it up, add it to your watch list. What did you get last time you shuffled?
Last time I shuffled, I got a film in a very different vibe to Mississippi Masala. I got Freeway, the 1996 sort of like thriller, horror vibe between Reese Witherspoon plays like a young teenage girl who gets attacked, harassed by Kiefer Sutherland, who's playing the I-5 serial killer. He picks her up on the highway. And he's got some bad things in his mind for what's going to happen. And it's fun. I watched the newish 4K from Vinegar Syndrome. It looks great. The film itself exists in a very like post, like the Brad Pitt, Julia Lewis movie, California, post like Natural Born Killers world of American filmmaking, where like people were really going for this like grimy, like white trash, like aesthetic. And it's a vibe that like I've never really like gelled with. I'm not particularly a big like Natural Born Killers fan.
I thought you were about to say, I'm not white trash. And I was like, whoa, okay, Mitchell, geez.
I would never say a thing like that. I think like I just, it's not like my kind of like aesthetic for film. Like it's very like the vibes of the aesthetic of it isn't super my thing, but there's definitely like plenty to like in it. Reese Witherspoon's performance is great. She's letting her Southern accent out. She's shouting the N-word like it's her birthright. I was a little taken aback by it, honestly. Kiefer Sutherland's great. I think anytime he plays like a smarmy, like sleazy dude, like I, you know, think of like Lost Boys and Stand By Me and stuff like that. Phone Booth, even, such a great voice performance in Phone Booth. He's really good in it. One thing I really did respect about it, but overall, like it was all right. It's no Pope's Exorcist, but
I mean, 3 stars for this. I can't imagine you going higher than 3 stars for Pope's Exorcist, but we'll see.
I've got the 5 ready.
Your finger is on the button, on the 5th star as we speak. So what do we say if we go over 30 minutes, we have to remove your blue check? Is that what it was? I can't remember. I think that's what happened.
People are going to have to pay for her. They're going to have to subscribe.
I don't know. I think people, if we go over 30 minutes, this could be the end of Mitchell's blue check. The journey might be over very soon. We'll see. Okay, we'll see. Depending on how long this episode goes. let's spotlight some community reviews that were tagged weekend watch list. Alexandria watched The Fog, which I really enjoy. Quote, my favorite episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? Which, by the way, there needs to be an HD release of Are You Afraid of the Dark. I'd love to rewatch that show on Paramount or whatever Peacock P-word streaming service has the rights to it. Would love to go back and watch that.
Yeah. The Fog has a great 4K from Shout Factory, which is really good. I want to shout out Kayla's review of Chef, which Kayla marked weekend watch list. Kayla says, the bad thing about watching food movies, the frozen pizza you made doesn't hit as hard. Slim, how can you relate to that?
being attacked by Mitchell right now for my love of Totino's Pizza for One. You can get it for like $1.25 at your local supermarket.
Watching Chef, knowing that you're right there with Jon Favreau. You're putting the ingredients on. You're making it happen.
You can hear my dog barking. Nova heard you slight Totino's Pizza for One, and she's not happy right now with your behavior.
I'll say, my partner Sam got these goat cheese frozen pizzas from Aldi recently, and they are obsessed with them. Very excited. A lot of talk in the apartment about how these goat cheese pizzas are bee's knees.
Let's see. What do I want to spotlight? I'll spotlight Brian Lai watch Annihilation. I don't think I even know what this film is about, but that doesn't stop me from being fascinated by it. It's perhaps the most poignant depiction of cosmic horror on the screen, this sort of inexplicable fear of the unexplainable, less of anything bound to the physical world and more of this feeling of being completely overwhelmed and consumed. It's a five-star movie. Five stars for Annihilation.
Four faves for Slim on Annihilation. Mm-hmm. I'll shout out one more review before we figure out what we're going to watch next. I want to shout out Brenna's review of Quiz Show, where Brenna says, imagine such a scandalous congressional committee hearing for something as tame as a rigged game show. What a time. Quiz Show is like a charming, character-driven warm-up to the much darker network. As a lover of retro game shows and journalism movies, which this feels like, all the boxes were checked. I love anytime anybody's talking about Quiz Show. I love that movie. Somehow still only on DVD. Let's get a Blu-ray for Quiz Show. Come on, people.
Let's head to our watch list. It's time to shuffle again to see what we're going to watch next. So open your watch list on the web, filter by stream only since I'm a pro member. And then I'm going to sort by shuffle. And the first movie I get, I have to watch. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. 1990, Catherine Bigelow. Blue Steel, Jamie Lee Curtis. Shit. Megan Turner, rookie NYC cop, foils an armed robber on her first day and then engages in a cat and mouse game with one of the witnesses who becomes obsessed with her. This is on everywhere. Tubi, streaming on Plex, Vudu, and Prime. I'm pumped.
Blue Steel rules. I will say Ron Silver's performance in Blue Steel is one of the most nuts performances I've seen in my entire life. It is legendary. I cannot wait for you to watch that movie.
Hell yeah.
I got a film directed by my main man, Dennis Hopper, also from 1990, big 1990 episode. My film is The Hot Spot, directed by Hopper. The tagline, safe is never sex, it's dangerous. The synopsis, a man enters a small town which unwittingly gets obscured as girls, money, bank heist, police, killers, and even a loner will strive forward in this crime thriller. That synopsis feels like that synopsis went through like a ChatGPT or something. I gotta figure something out with that. It's got Jennifer Connelly, Don Johnson, very excited for The Hot Spot. Jack Nance.
Oh my God, 1990 Don Johnson. Do you believe? Thanks so much for listening to Weekend Watchlist, brought to you by The Letterboxd Show. You can follow Mitchell, Mia, Slim, that's me, and our HQ page on Letterboxd using the links in our episode notes. And if you had the time, maybe drop a rating on Spotify or leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts as it helps spread the word about the show.
Thanks to our crew, and thanks to Letterboxd member Trent Walton for the theme music, Eyes On. Thanks to Jack for the facts and Sophie Shin for the episode transcript, and to you for listening. Weekend Watchlist is a Tape Deck production.
This is a Tape Deck podcast.